Welcome to the Issue Is podcast. I'm Alex Michelson. You know, for so many months now, we've been covering the California recall, and now it is finally over. Governor Newsom defeating the recall easily. It turns out there's a lot of Democrats in California, and they were able to make the race a lot about that and really define Larry Elder in a negative way in the minds of millions of Democrats around the state. So where do we go from here? What's next for Larry Elder? What's next for Governor Newsom? This week on The Issue Is, we talked to Larry Elder. We also talked to an all-star panel in the House, Brian Goldsmith, Areva Martin, John Cobalt, some of our favorites that are with us. But let's start with Larry Elder. And first, a look at some of those poll results and the tweets that he sent out about him. Take a look. Welcome to The Issue Is. I'm Alex Michelson. Larry Elder tweeting out this late this week. We want to put it up on the screen. It shows that the last time around we had a recall back in 2003, there were a lot more registered Republicans than now in California. Back then, Arnold Schwarzenegger got about 49% of the vote. This time around, Larry Elder got about 47% of the vote of people who chose to answer question two on the ballot, which, of course, is who should replace Governor Newsom. It's important to point out about 45% of voters chose to leave that question blank after the governor told them to leave it blank. Overall, although ballots are still coming in, about 64% of voters chose to keep the governor. About 36% wanted to remove him. Those are similar numbers to when he ran back in 2018. Let's talk about it with Larry Elder. Larry, welcome back to The Issue Is.
Alex, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So what message do you think California voters were sending by rejecting the recall by more than 25 points?
Well, as I tweeted this morning, the electoral math has changed dramatically from what it was in 2003 when Gray Davis recalled. 2003, 44% of the state was registered as the Democrat. Now it's 46%. That's a 5% increase. You look at decline to states. Even the New York Times said that they tend to lean left, 16% in 2003. Now it's about 24%, which is almost a 50% increase. And then you look at the decline in Republicans in 2003. We're talking about 35%. Now it's just 24%. That's almost a 33% decline. And still, I received almost the same percentage on the replacement side as did Arnold Schwarzenegger. I got outspent 10-1, according to a state senator I talked to just the other day. And they brought in the heavy lumber. They brought in Obama. They brought in Bernie Sanders. They brought in Elizabeth Warren, all of whom cut commercials for him. And by the way, none of whom said anything at all about his record on crime, on homelessness, on the outrageous decline in the quality of public education, on the fact that people are leaving California, businesses and people, for the first time in our state's history. More people have left California, more businesses have left California rather than have left all of last year. And the rate at which businesses are leaving is twice the rate at which they've left the last 2 or 3 years. They didn't say anything at all about his record on fire, about his record on water, about his record on rolling brownouts. All they said was Republican takeover, Republican takeover, Republican takeover. And based upon the electoral map, it worked.
And so do you think that a Republican can win in this state?
Well, it's hard. You know, I was running against three entities. Of course, I ran against Gavin Newsom. I also ran against the state and local party, as I just now pointed out, Democratic Party. But I also ran against the media. Present company excluded, but much of the media was hostile, local and national media, especially Politico, CNN, and the LA Times. For crying out loud, the LA Times ran an article that said Larry Elder is the black face of white supremacy. And they also had a picture of the time that woman in the gorilla mask threw the egg at me, Alex. And you know, she was throwing the egg at me. And the headline was Elder involved in altercation in Venice Beach with a picture of me hugging a supporter. It looked as if I was slapping her. She contacted the LA Times. She was furious. And the LA Times changed the picture, but they didn't change the headline. And the CNN in particular, they ran with the allegation that I was abusive to a woman. I denied the allegation. But when Rose McGowan, the reporter, held a press conference and said that Gavin Newsom's wife tried to get her, Rose McGowan, to stop talking about Harvey Weinstein being a sexual predator, what can we do to make this story go away? She called allegedly on behalf of Harvey Weinstein's lawyer, says Rose McGowan. Gavin Newsom's wife did. And CNN didn't run a headline. Politico didn't run a headline. Washington Post didn't run a headline. The New York Times didn't run a headline. But all of them ran pieces about the allegation made about me. It's double standard. It was unfair. And it was the kind of unfairness to which I was subjected the whole time.
And just to be clear, we ran a headline about that and about many of the stories throughout the time. So this election, though,
I said,
appreciate it.
And I mean that seriously, Alex. You were fair, but much of the media was simply not fair. Some of the things that were said about me, some of the things that were printed, I mean, absolutely, totally, completely outrageous. Larry Elder is anti-vax. I mean, there was a commercial that said Larry Elder is anti-vax. I've been vaccinated. I encourage people to be vaccinated.
Right.
All I said was I'm anti-government making a mandate of it. Very different.
I agree. I do think some of the reporting was unfair and tried to call that out along the way. So the election increased your profile in a major way. It changed your life forever. Here's how your favorite paper, the LA Times, wrote about it this week. They say it's now Larry Elder's California GOP. What's his next move? So we know that Governor Newsom is running again in 2022. Are you?
I'm giving it a lot of thought. Right now, I'm decompressing. I'm going to take a few days off and figure out what I want to do. I have a lot of options, including, of course, going back to talk radio. But I must tell you, Alex, only in America can a black person be president of the United States and the black face of white supremacy. What a country.
So we know that you took time off of the radio in order to do this. Are you going to go back on the radio?
Again, I don't know. You know, Alex, I was reminded of a quote made by Golda Meir. She was talking about homicide bombers. And she said, we're going to continue to have this problem as long as Palestinian mothers hate their own children. Hate Israelis more than they love their own children. We're going to keep having these problems as long as California Democrats and independents hate Republicans more than they hate the rise of the cost of living, the rise in crime, the decline in the quality of public education, the fact that people are leaving California and businesses at record rates, the poor management of the forest, the poor water management, the poor energy grid management. As long as independents and Democrats can be convinced to hate Republicans more than they're concerned about those issues, we're still gonna have these problems. And by the way, we still have them. I lost the election. Has crime gone down? No. Has the cost of living gone down? No. Has the quality of education improved? No. Are people still leaving? Oh, yes. And I predict the exodus is going to be greater because a lot of people were staying just because of me.
It is clear that President Trump is very popular with a lot of the people that voted for you. But it is also clear that President Trump is deeply unpopular with the majority of Californians. Right. We have seen in blue states, some Republicans have won governorships by being against President Trump. Is it possible for a conservative, unapologetic Republican like you to win in a state like California? And if it's not, is it worth it to run again?
That's a very good question. That's a $64,000 question. I am a Republican. I have not voted for a Democrat since 1976. That was Jimmy Carter, and I regret that. And of course, I was not going to vote for Hillary. Of course, I was not going to vote for Joe Biden. Donald Trump, you're right. He's quite toxic to a lot of people, but he's quite energizing to other people. It's a mixed bag as far as his personality is concerned about how people perceive him. 83% of Democrats believe that Donald Trump is a racist, despite the fact that he presided over the best economy for blacks ever. So I think it's emotional. There's a lot of anger towards Donald Trump. He's been able to be characterized as a dangerous person. I don't feel that way about him, but whoever becomes a nominee in 2024, whoever he or she is, I'm going to support him. I wasn't going to vote for Hillary. I wasn't going to vote for Joe Biden.
You know, you warned about potential voter fraud before the election. You asked voters to contact your team so you could potentially sue if you found voter fraud. Do you have any lawsuits planned?
No. What I did was I asked anybody, voters, whether they were Republican, independents, or Democrats, if you see anything or hear anything suspicious, let us know. And people did contact us. And there were several people who said that they went to their voting precinct and they were told that they already voted. We tracked it down. It turns out every single one of them was able to vote. So far, so good. But again, Alex, I told you this before. Nobody seems to ask my opponent about the allegation made by Hillary that the 2016 election was stolen, her word, not mine, calling Donald Trump fraudulent, Donald Trump illegitimate, to the point where 2/3 of Democrats falsely believe the Russians changed vote tallies in 2016, and 78% falsely believe that the Senate report concluded that the Russians changed the outcome of the election when they didn't. In other words, a greater percentage of Democrats believe the 2016 election was quote unquote stolen, the Republicans who believe the 2020 election was stolen, but nobody seemed to ask my opponent the same kind of questions you're asking me. To me, it's a double standard.
If you ran again in 2022 with the same strategy, the same message as you did right now, Is there any reason to think that the outcome would be different?
Great question. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine, and he was reminding me of a scene from Star Wars, one of the Star Wars I hadn't seen. One soldier was looking over the battlefield, looking at the opposition, and he said, "There's just so many of them," end of quote. "There's so many more Democrats than independents," who the New York Times says leans left than was the case in 2003 when Gray Davis was recalled. The math is daunting. I'm not sure whether or not I could answer yes to your question. Is there anything that any Republican, real Republican, by that I'm talking about somebody who believes in tax cuts, somebody who believes in school choice, somebody who believes in lowering regulations, somebody who believes in things I believe, could any real Republican win in California given the electoral map? I'm not sure.
And let me just lastly about you and about this race. We saw you faced a lot of negativity. You faced a lot of racism on the campaign trail, but you also got a lot of love. We were out with you with these overwhelming rallies up and down the state. Was it fun running for governor?
It was. It was a whole lot more fun than I thought it was going to be. And I must tell you, I missed talk radio less than I thought I would. I missed it. But I had a really good time. There was a lot of love out there, and a lot of people, including men, came up to me crying, telling me, "You've given me hope. I'm thinking now about staying in California. Now I'm not going to leave." And I even talked to people who told me they were going to come back to California. I felt that there was a nerve I hit, a heart I hit. And Alex, you've been knowing me for some time. I'm a likable guy. I just didn't have enough time to convince a lot of independents and Democrats that I'm a likable guy. And I think once they realize that, they'll lower their guard, and maybe, just maybe, they won't be so reluctant to pull the lever for somebody with an R at the end of his name next time around, if there is a next time around.
And lastly, most important lesson learned from this whole experience?
You lose your voice and you gain weight.
Well, good luck on the diet. You sound great today. Larry Elder, thank you for coming on this show throughout the experience. We've enjoyed the conversations. Great to see you.
And Alex, again, thank you for being fair. You've always been hard on me, but you've always been fair. And I respect that.
All right. Enjoy a little rest. Larry Elder, thanks so much.
Our thanks to Larry Elder. So what's next for the governor? Where do we go from here? Where does Larry Elder go from here? Let's talk about that more with our panel. Brian Goldsmith was the host of the Katie Couric podcast, longtime journalist working with her and other forces. Also is a political strategist, media consultant now, worked on the Pete Buttigieg campaign. Areva Martin, author, activist, attorney, has got a new book out about women and the fight for equal representation. John Cobalt is the co-host of the John and Ken Show on KFI AM 640 in Los Angeles and on the iHeartRadio app. All of them joining us to get into the big topics of this historic week.
Welcome back to The Issue Is, friends. It feels like family's back in the house. Great to see all of you guys.
Great to see you.
Great to be here.
Yeah,
it's I bet you say that to all the guests.
No, it's true. And it's more true with some guests. It's very true with you guys. Let's go down the line, though. Big takeaway from this big week, the recall results. Brian.
COVID control is a winning issue for Democrats, both in terms of energizing their base, persuading swing voters, and also, if you're a Democrat, good to win and run in a plus 25 Democratic state.
Yeah, yes, it helps to have the numbers on your side. Areva.
I think the big takeaway is that despite some mistakes that Gavin Newsom has made, for the most part, the majority of Californians are happy with the state of California. We have some of the highest vaccination rates. We have some of the lowest infection rates of COVID-19. We have a $50 billion plus surplus, and the state is doing well. Of course, there are issues. Of course, there are things that can be improved. But I think the crushing victory, the crushed of the loss that Larry Elder suffered during the recall shows that Californians are pretty much happy.
Let me preempt John and challenge you on that premise. Do you think that everybody is happy? Or do you think that people really, really didn't want Larry Elder to be the governor of California?
Well, I think it's a little of both. Of course, everyone in the state is not really, really happy. But I think the majority of Californians are happy with the direction that the state is going. And of course, we did not want Larry Elder without any experience in running government, having never run or, run anything, less known a state the size of California. He wasn't qualified to run this state. And the voters told him as much.
John, your takeaway from this week.
Larry Elder and the state of California are two entirely separate issues. No, a lot of people are really unhappy, and they've got good reason to be. The homelessness in L.A., just open your eyes. Do Democrats really want to live like this? Because it's disgusting here in L.A., and it's disgusting in San Francisco. So to say that they're happy, and that's why they voted for Gavin Newsom, implies that they are happy with the living conditions, which I find gross and intolerable. Just me. Are they happy with a school system in L.A., which is not only one of the worst in the country, but was closed down for 16 months in impacting minority kids? 80% of L.A. schools minority kids. Are Democrats happy that all those minority kids didn't go to school for 16 months while Gavin Newsom's kids went to school since a year ago? See, this is the stuff that makes me crazy. Are Democrats happy that a thief can walk into a Walgreens and steal $1,000 a day, and we've seen it on video, it's happening? Is that what Democrats are happy about?
Well, I don't know.
Let me respond to that. You know, what we are happy about is the direction that the state is going in. And you can be happy about the direction and the trajectory of the state while recognizing that the state has problems. And it's very curious to me that Republicans care about minority kids. Because if you cared about minority kids, you would step up on so many issues that impact minority communities. We don't see you stepping up on issues like the George Floyd crime bill. We don't see you stepping up on the infrastructure bill. We don't see you stepping up on so many policies.
You're changing the subject. Let's talk about the schools.
I'm not changing the subject.
The LA schools are a disaster.
I'm not changing the subject at all. I'm talking about the hypocrisy of the Republican Party. You want to throw minority kids into the mix, but when minority kids are at issue, when they're jeopardized by the policies of Republicans,
the Democrats claim that they are the advocates for the minority kids.
Keep minority kids out of your mouth until you're ready to step up
on minority
kids.
No, I really want to know, if you claim you're an advocate for minority kids, how do you close the schools down for 16 months? How do you live with the worst school district in the nation?
I don't have to claim I'm an advocate for minority kids. I'm a parent of minority kids, and my work speaks for itself. I've been fighting on behalf of all kids, particularly minority kids, for the majority of my career. And I don't think you or many Republicans can say the same.
A Republican.
Brian,
first of all, I'm not a Republican, but I'm not talking about Republican, Democrat. I'm looking at the issue. Yeah. The issue is what should have been debated during the campaign, and it wasn't.
The issues that you raised, John, I think could potentially be powerful weapons in the hands of the right alternative. The challenge for Republicans in this state is they keep putting forward candidates like Larry Elder, who are unelectable in California.
That's why I said Larry is separate from these issues.
They are not putting forward a Charlie Baker like in Massachusetts or a Larry Hogan like in Maryland, who are Republicans coming from the center who can win in an overwhelmingly Democratic state. They are in their own little echo chamber.
Yeah, I know.
Talking to the same
they're
little
terrible.
35%.
I've never belonged to the Republican Party, and I find the party in this state to be absurd. I'm happy with a Democrat who just addresses those issues, so why don't they? What's the downside to say we're not putting up with homelessness anymore? Well, we're not going to put up with all the crime going on.
But the Democrats the Democrats are saying that.
Absolutely.
They are saying that. The question is, are they
working on it as well?
They've been in charge for 20 years.
Yeah. It's a completely flawed argument to suggest that Democrats haven't been working from the state level to the local level. We can look at elected officials right here in the county of L.A.
It's been
20 years. Mark Early Thomas, for example, has dedicated the last couple of years in terms of addressing homelessness. Homelessness is a huge problem.
There's a lot of
And
we're going to spend $12 billion this year on homelessness, and we'll see what will happen.
We gave them $3 billion in an extra tax, and it got worse.
So a question going forward, Areva, there's different ways to interpret this if you're Governor Newsom, right? On the one hand, you can say millions of people tried to recall me. I'm humbled by that. On the other hand, you could say millions more voted for me, and I'm emboldened by that. I double down on what's already happening. Which way do you think he goes?
I think he should be emboldened. I think he should take what happened in this recall election, recognize it for what it was. It was some disgruntled Republicans who saw what they thought to be an opportunity to recall a very popular governor in a blue state. And they learned a lesson, which that's not possible to do in the state of California. Now, should he listen to some of the legitimate complaints that Republicans and others that voted against him may have? Of course he should. Every politician, anyone that represents an entire state, should listen to all of the constituents, not just one, facet of your base. And he should learn the lessons that he can learn from that. But at the end of the day, the victory was clear. It was convincing. The citizens of the state of California want Gavin Newsom to be their governor, and he is the governor today because of that very reason.
So one lesson ought to be reforming the recall laws.
Thank you. It's not so easy
for a dissatisfied and embittered group of political opponents to put this thing on the ballot and cost the taxpayers $300 million. But for Gavin personally, he's now got to deliver on homelessness, on crime, on small business in order to broaden his coalition. And I think he heard that message.
And he acknowledged that when he spoke with me earlier this week. John, your thoughts. Where does he go from here?
Well, we've seen this guy going back 20 years to San Francisco. You know, when I came to California in the 90s, San Francisco was the most beautiful jewel I'd ever seen. And now it's an open sewer. He was the mayor there for 8 years. Now he's been the governor for three. And everything, all that's getting worse. And that's the stuff that really matters in people's lives. And I have not heard him do, not say. I'm sick of listening to hearing politicians say things. He hasn't done anything to make it better. All that stuff I mentioned before has gotten significantly worse.
Well, some of our viewers on KTVU in San Francisco might disagree with you saying that their city is an open sewer.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll go on a tour
on
with
their
them.
Behalf. I would just push back on that. All right. Well, great part of having you guys back in studio. We're going to have more in the next break, including talking about Larry Elder and the interview we did with him.
All of you know that last year I got to run against the real Donald Trump. This year, the leading Republican running for governor is the closest thing to a Trump clone that I've ever seen in your state.
In the final rally of the Newsom campaign, President Biden tried to tie Larry Elder to Donald Trump. This happened in Long Beach. The question, where does the California GOP go from here? Back with our panel, Brian Goldsmith, Areva Martin, John Cobalt. John, you heard Larry Elder on our show a short time ago here on The Issue Is. What'd you make of what he said and where the party goes from here?
There barely is a Republican Party. I mean, I don't really know what that means, because what you had with these candidates were a bunch of freelancers, guys who want to be governor or want to increase their profile or are really pissed off at what's going on. But it wasn't organized. They weren't financed. They weren't endorsed. It was just guys who happened to be registered Republican who were running in the race. So I don't think the Republican Party is of any use, really. I wish something else would take its place and provide some organization and some financial muscle and get behind somebody who's rational.
Which is really an extraordinary thing to say when you think about the California Republican Party and its history. It produced Richard Nixon, Ronald Reagan, Pete Wilson, George Duke Majan, Arnold Schwarzenegger, all two-term governors not so long ago, and now it's producing Larry Elder, John Cox, and Caitlyn Jenner. This is fundamentally about who is the messenger as well as what is the message. And this ought to be, you know, the 15th or 16th wake-up call for the California Republican Party that they need to fundamentally change.
Areva, I was kind of struck by Larry Elder not saying he was going to run again and really acknowledging the real math challenges ahead. What'd you make of what he had to say?
Well, I made a lot and then a very little about what Larry Elder had to say. And I'm going to agree with John on something. John said this was about a lot of folks who were running, some because they were disgruntled, but a lot of them to increase their influence. And when I listened to Larry Elder in the interview you did and in interviews he's done previously, I just see a guy that's trying to increase his influence. I don't see a guy who's done the work to get prepared to have the backing, the financial backing, the endorsements to really run a state the size of California. And that's troublesome to me. And the arrogance to suggest that people are not going to leave or they're going to stay in California because of him, I think that just speaks volumes about his ego and about his delusion in terms of, you know, what he means to the state and to the race. And if you're really serious about being in the race, go do the work. Get in shape. Get in position. And give us a real candidate that we can consider. And not just, you know, suggest that Democrats are too emotional to know the difference between a good candidate and a really, really bad candidate. And Larry Elder was a really, really bad candidate.
You know, some strategists talk about voter fraud before the election and say that that hurt Republicans. Ron Nehring is an advisor to Kevin Faulkner. He said this during a Sacramento Press Club event to Jeff Corliss, an advisor to Larry Elder. Take a look.
That is bullshit. And lying to Republicans claiming an election was stolen before a single vote or result had been published is grossly irresponsible.
That's just simply not true.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's right here, buddy. It's right here.
Fake news.
Brian, your thoughts about talking about voter fraud could end up hurting Republicans. Also, saying don't vote by mail could end up hurting Republicans.
Well, it's bad for Republicans. It's bad for the democracy, first and foremost. But Republicans used to dominate among mail-in ballots. They kind of invented mail-in harvesting in this state. So they're really going after their own base in a lot of ways. But I think they're just, again, talking to themselves and not talking to the voters they need in order to win.
And John, you know, there was a lot of hope at the beginning of this that somebody like Kevin Faulkner would be what you're talking
that's
about.
That's who I voted for.
Who's more moderate? He lost big time.
Nobody ever heard of him.
So what do you think? I mean, how does, if he does this again, and who knows if he will run again or not? Now he's saying he's reconsidering whether he will in fact run again. How does he do it differently the next time around? Can he?
At least he's got a year this time. You know, going back to your point, you can't jump in 2 months before an election without an organization and without money. Now, Larry thought he was world famous and he could just fly in there. But he wasn't that famous. You have to understand when you're in talk radio or any kind of media niche, the people who watch you or listen to you, yeah, you're famous to them. But you're not famous outside the bubble. You know, a hit radio show gets 5% of the audience, which means 95% of the public has no idea who you are.
Yeah.
And that's why there's a lot of radio guys around the country who jump into a political race and end up falling flat on their face.
I would say two threshold issues quickly for Kevin Faulkner. One is, can he raise the money to actually do voter contact in the state of California? Number two, can he repudiate Donald Trump? Without that, the voters he needs will never listen to him.
And the most famous person in the race, by far, even more famous than Governor Newsom, Caitlyn Jenner, ended up polling among the worst of all the candidates as well.
Well, you leave the state in the middle of a race to go do a reality TV show.
After I saw her interview that you did in the first days, I knew she was going down.
Up next, what is this panel watching on TV other than The Issue Is? Thank you for the plug, John. Emmys weekend, big weekend for the state of California and our big industry, entertainment. Back with our panel, Areva Martin, Brian Goldsmith, John Cobalt. All right, around the table, John, let's start with you.
Oh, no, don't.
What's your favorite show on TV right
now? When I tell you, you always stare at me because it's never anything current. I don't watch any current TV.
Nothing at all? Haven't tried anything at all?
No, I go home and on my iPad, I watch old Johnny Carson shows and Dean Martin roasts and Don Rickles appearances and Rodney Dangerfield. Everybody's dead. And I watch their old performances, and it makes me really happy before I go to bed.
Okay. All right, Areva.
Okay.
Anything from,
See, I told you.
21st century?
Okay. My favorite show on television is Chicago PD.
Okay.
But I've been binging The Wire. Because after Michael William died, there was such an outpouring of love and support for him.
All right, Brian.
Well, in addition to Hacks, which I love.
Hacks is so fun.
Absolutely amazing. And Gene Smart deserves like a Nobel Prize in addition to an Emmy. I loved White Lotus.
Oh, yeah.
And Succession is probably my favorite show on TV, and I'm really excited for that to come back.
Well, clearly we have similar taste. Succession is the best show on TV. But Ted Lasso, in this moment of so much political polarization, bringing us together. It's so nice to have Ted Lasso on.
Our thanks to the great panel and a great interview with Larry Elder. Thank you so much for listening. Please send me a message on social media, connect with us, review the podcast, tell people about it. We'd love to get the word out there. I'm Alex Michelson. See you next time for more of The Issue Is.